What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back-to-school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back-to-school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Fly ball to deep right field. Clear the deck!
Oh.
Clear the upper deck! Cannonball coming and anchored down! Brian Reynolds hits his 7th, and the Pirates hit their 7th, and the Buccos, the Lumber Company.
They got some kind of a restaurant or something, it looks like, up there. It hit those windows.
The Pirates take an 11-6 lead.
Look out below if you're enjoying a nice dinner in Seattle, as the Pirates were bombs away last night trying to knock everything and anything out of T-Mobile Park. The Bucs win it last night by a final of 11-6. They hit 7 home runs in the game. I feel like I was just talking to you about this game because, well, I was. I think we got off the air around 2 a.m. last night. Now here we are. It's Bucco Talk on this beautiful Saturday morning here in Western Pennsylvania. I'm Josh Rountree on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan. We got Jason Mackey coming up later. He'll join us live from Seattle. He's getting up even earlier, I guess, technically, than myself. But, man, what a night for the Pirates last night. Now, here they are, 50 games into the season, just under a third of the way. And they're 2 games over 500. They are in a competition right now. I think it's safe to say at the top of the NL Central standings, they're entering today's action behind the Milwaukee Brewers by only a half a game. They have not played the Brewers yet. They have not played the Cubs yet either. The Cubs currently sitting behind them. And the Cardinals are starting to put it together. Despite a horrible start at 10-24, St. Louis has gotten it back to 23-30. They lost last night. The Brewers lost last night. And now the door open potentially for the Pirates, with Milwaukee having gone 4-6 in their last 10. With a win this afternoon or this evening and a Milwaukee loss today, the Pirates could be in first place by the end of the day. We could be talking about a Memorial Day with the Pirates potentially in first place in the NL Central. If I would have told you that back on March 30th, is that something you would have signed up for? Absolutely. Is that something you might be interested in? Absolutely. The way that it's happened, the way that it's gotten to this point, maybe you wouldn't love. The 20-8 start, everyone thought, man, this team is untouchable right now. And then they were, once we got to the month of May. May has not been as kind, certainly. We all know that. The Pirates have really not had a good month. Again, they were 20-8. They're now 26-24. You do the math. That's not a great month. But who's to say this team won't again streak in a positive direction? And I don't know. I feel like a West Coast road trip, and I've said this throughout the course of this week leading up to this trip. You go back last year, a much lesser Pirates team, a much less talented Pirates team, a much less capable of winning Pirates team, and a group with a far worse pitching rotation than what we've seen so far this year. Went out to the West Coast, had a great week in the West. They swept the LA Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. And, of course, everything sort of unraveled after that. But that was definitely a come-together sort of trip for the Pirates out on the West Coast. And I don't know. Maybe this will be that trip for them. Maybe this is the trip as they get out of May and get into June, a month where, hello, Andrew McCutchen has been historically very good, where Brian Reynolds a year ago really started to heat up around this time. He has not been great in this month, though he was fantastic at the plate last night, coming up a double shy of the cycle, really a double shy of the super cycle. I don't know if that's actually an expression, the super cycle, but I like it. It includes a walk. He had a walk, a single, a triple, and a home run, did Brian Reynolds, and drove in four runs last night. That guy heats up, or tends to heat up, in the month of June. And we saw the ball flying out of the ballpark last night. And it wasn't just that the Pirates hit home runs. It was who hit those home runs. Brian Reynolds with a home run as a left-handed batter for the first time since the opening series of the year. Ke'Bryan Hayes getting a fastball up and in, turning his hands on it, and getting it out of the ballpark. A much-needed sign of power from Hayes, who has become just a line drive and ground ball hitter to the max. Carlos Santana in his return to Seattle, mashing one out of right field. His first home run since the opening series this year. Tucapita Marcano adding some pop. Andrew McCutchen turning on one and driving a ball out of the ballpark. Jack Sawinski, and as we saw last year in his first season really in the big leagues, when Jack Sawinski gets going, he really gets going. He was a guy that on that trip out on the West Coast last year started to really click. When he gets it swinging, he is a true power hitter and can absolutely carry an offense. Now look, I'm realistic on this show, at least I try to be. It's one game. One game doesn't make up for a month of poor offense. I'll admit that. But seeing those guys do what they did, and oh, by the way, they did it against George Kirby, who right now is the best control pitcher in all of baseball. That's not me going out on a limb. That's what he is. He is the best control pitcher in all of baseball. They pushed him out in the fifth inning after he gave up seven earned runs. They took him deep more times last night than he had been taken deep all season. Good to see them do something positive offensively, these Pirates, against a good pitcher. Because to this point, they really have struggled with good pitchers. What the Pirates have done, especially here during the month of May, against the Rays, when they faced Zach Eflin, who's been really good this year. They struggled with him. When they faced Nathan Eovaldi and the Rangers the other day, they struggled with him. Those two pitchers, they came into last night as the only two pitchers ahead of George Kirby as far as fewest pitches thrown per inning. What did they do? The Pirates, they had an early inning of patience. They saw pitches. This is a guy in George Kirby who typically throws about 14 pitches an inning. He started the game last night. I believe the final number was 21. They hit a home run. They drew a walk. Two things that never happened to this guy. He has not, so far this season, given up more than one walk in a game. Now, that continued last night, but the Pirates were able to draw a walk just the second batter. They got a home run in the first with the first batter. And it just, you could tell that it just kind of threw George Kirby for a loop. Guys that pound the zone like he does, and boy, does he ever. He had a game last year in which he threw 24 consecutive strikes to begin a game. Guys that pound the zone, when they're pounding and they're not super, super locating or they're not getting a ton of movement, they can get hit. And the Pirates took advantage last night, and they hit him. They hit him hard, and they hit him often. So while we keep things in perspective here, that yes, it was a great night offensively, there are also things at play here that could potentially be a little bigger. That they were able to do it off a quality control pitcher. That they were able to go out on the road and get that done. And that it came from sources that, well, you don't entirely expect right now to deliver long balls. And I include Brian Reynolds in that category because he just hasn't been a home run hitter. Obviously, I include Key Brian Hayes in that discussion because he's not a home run hitter. And I think it's time that people start to sort of accept that. It came from Carlos Santana, who I thought would maybe provide more of a pop in his bat than he has so far this season. 412-928-9370 is the number if you want to hop in here on Bucco Talk. Happy to be with you as the Pirates get ready for Game 2 tonight. The Pirates announcing with Derek Shelton last night that Vince Velasquez is going to go to the mound tonight. He will take the spot of Roansy Contreras. I had assumed that it was going to be Luis Ortiz's spot and Velasquez would pitch tomorrow. Instead, it is Contreras who gets bumped. And last night, when Derek Shelton was asked what's going to happen with Contreras, he essentially said, we're going to assess that today. So, not sure what's going on there with Roansy Contreras, but my guess is he will go to Sunday. He'll be the Sunday guy. But it didn't seem to be a sure thing last night. Our Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. You can visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. 412-928-9370 is the number if you want to hop in on the conversation here on Bucco Talk this morning. Let's grab a call right now as the Pirates, 50 games into the year, they're two games over 500, 26 and 24. Let's grab a call from our pal Chuck in Uniontown. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Josh. I'm particularly glad that they won last night and hope they win today because this is my natal day today. This is my birthday. And
really?
Yes.
All right. Happy birthday, Chuck.
Thank you.
Let's go. Let's hope the Buccos can get you a win.
Yeah. Well, they did. In the East here, the game was over, past midnight.
That's right.
Let's hope they win the schedule game today. But anyway, Josh, I got to thinking about this after that less than desirable series at home against the Texas Rangers. That if they could come off of this road trip to the left coast, to Seattle and San Francisco, no worse than 500 or even above, I thought maybe it's not just based on numbers. I think psychologically, they could stay in the race for, they could stay in the race and maybe make a good long run out of this because, as bad as that series was against the Rangers, and as a matter of fact, Josh, do you know that we're playing a little bit better ball on the road than we are at home this year so far? We're under 500 at home.
Right, and some of the splits, too. I mean, some guys have really hit the ball well on the road so far this year. Brian Reynolds included his last 12 games. He's hitting something like close to 400 now on the road.
No, but anyway, Josh, if we can come off this road trip, any time you go to the West Coast, it's still a bit of a dangerous trip, because of the travel, all this. Over 500. And then For goodness sakes, it's time to punch the Cardinals in the mouth. I mean, yes, they're the Cardinals and all the history of them bullying us and everything else. But Josh, this is not a great Cardinal ball club. They can be had. And I think it's about time we had them.
I think, and Chuck, as always, thank you for the call and a very, very happy birthday to you. I'm sure I'm going to hear from you later on the postgame show as well. But, you know, Chuck's right there. The Cardinals, you know, as much as they're not entirely a factor right now, I think that they are going to be. And B, they are that team that sort of stands in the way right now of the Pirates. They have been that dark cloud that has hung over this organization in a sense, even in their good years, right? Even in the years that, you know, the 2013 season when they won the wild card game and they got to the post, who was ahead of them? It was the Cardinals. Who'd they get in the playoffs? It was the Cardinals. Who eliminated them? It was the Cardinals. And they have not finished, I forget what the number is exactly, but they have not finished ahead of the Cardinals in the NL Central in, I mean, decades. It's crazy. And they are the team that's going to stand in the way. And I agree with what Chuck said there. You get through this road trip, you play somewhere around 500.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Why wait for Labor Day to save big on new custom window treatments when you can save up to 45% right now at Blinds.com's Labor Day Early Access Sale? Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's Labor Day early access sale, happening right now. Save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
100 ball on the road trip. And I think more than anything, you just look competitive in these games out on the West Coast. Maybe you fare a little bit better. Maybe you're a game over 500 through this road trip. I'm just talking about through this stretch of games, Seattle and San Francisco. You come back home after that. You're talking post-Memorial Day into June, and you're right there around first place. Here's the thing about that. The longer this goes, where the Pirates are at least relevant and at least competing in the division, the more that they're going to start to believe here. Milwaukee probably had much, much higher hopes than where they're at right now. St. Louis certainly did. Milwaukee is struggling. They've only won four of their last 10. They're not playing great baseball right now. I think that they're going to come together, and I think Milwaukee will probably be the team that wins the division. But every year, there's a team that you think's going to win a division that doesn't, that slumps mightily and just can't really dig out of it. Maybe that's Milwaukee this year. I'm not going to sit here on May 27th, Chuck's birthday, by the way. We can't emphasize that enough. I'm not going to sit here on May 27th and say the Pirates are a playoff team. I don't believe that yet. How could you believe that yet? Particularly given the month of May. I didn't say that after the month of April when they were 20-8. What I will say, though, is as the longer that this goes, the longer that they push the teams ahead of them or around them like Milwaukee and potentially like St. Louis if they can continue to climb, the more this group will believe. There is one thing that I do believe about this team. This is a much better clubhouse as far as individuals than we have seen in Pittsburgh since they made those playoff runs from 2013 to 2015. There's more character. There's more personality. There's more leadership. There's more togetherness. That's not a knock necessarily on past teams or past managers or whatever. This team just feels more connected. You see them pull out the sword and the jacket and the symbols and all that. But I think in that room, there is more togetherness than there was. The problem is that it feels like they're going in this cycle together where when they're up, they're really, really up. And when they're down, they're really, really down. And that can't happen. Over 162 games, you're going to go through losing streaks. The best teams do it. The Dodgers have done that this year. Maybe the best team in baseball. The Rays are going to do that this year. They've already struggled some in the last couple of weeks. It's going to happen. It's how you respond and how you dig out. It's making sure that 2-3 losses in a row don't become 4-5-6-7 losses in a row, and then all of a sudden you go from 20-8 to 26-24 where they are now. That's the challenge that the Pirates are presented with right now. They have to find a way to dig out of where they are at, and maybe last night's a positive step in that direction. Maybe going out west is a positive step in that direction. Let me know what you think. You can follow me on Twitter. You can tweet me there. JROWN32 is my Twitter handle. You can find me on the Fans Twitter account as well. You can also call us. 412-928-9370 is the number if you want to jump in. The phone lines are open this morning. We have Jason Mackey, who's going to come on in about an hour from Seattle to give us an update from the West Coast. But phone lines open, 412-928-9370. We're going to hear from Ben Sherrington during this show as well. Not live, but Ben talked to the media this week, and some interesting comments that Ben Sherrington made as far as contract situations, when to call players up, when's the right time to call players up. Quinn Priester, who we want to talk a little bit about during this show as well. He is pitching really, really well. Could he be knocking on the door of a call-up to the major league level? So we're going to hear from Ben Cherington during the course of this show, but we'll open the phone lines to you right now as well. 412-928-9370. As you're listening to Bucco Talk, I'm Josh Rountree here on The Fan.
6-2, and there's a high fly ball to left field. Going back is Trammell at the wall. It is gone! Key Brian Hayes clears the deck. His second. The Buccos go back-to-back. They've hit a season high. 4 home runs.
We could play a home run highlight coming out of every single commercial break on this show and not get to them all from last night. The Pirates with 7 long balls. We have 6 segments, so it's not going to work unless Pomp wants to play one to start his show, maybe coming up at 11. Josh Rountree, it's Bucco Talk. If you want to jump in, have any questions, comments, concerns, interpretive dance, whatever you want to do, we can do that for you. 412-928-9370, that's the number if you want to give us a ring here on this Saturday morning after the Pirates come away victorious last night. A very, very solid offensive effort. 15 hits, 7 home runs, 11 runs come across the plate for the Pirates. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Matt Harkins producing today. Matt, question for you. You're a local guy. You're a Bethel Park person. You grew up here. I'm assuming the Pirates were probably, you're wearing a Pirates hat right now, for goodness sake. So I'm guessing the Pirates were probably your team growing up. Is that a fair assumption?
Fair assumption. My parents like to say like the Cubs too when I was really little.
What?
So Cubs and Pirates.
Mm. But you gave away the Cub fandom, or are you still?
No, yeah, when I was like 7.
Okay. Did you have any other teams that you liked growing up?
Maybe no. Colorado, but other than that, not really.
So I was a Mariners guy growing up. There were two teams that I've I grew up here. So the Pirates, I think that's ingrained with you. And I obviously liked the Pirates growing up and rooted for the Pirates growing up. And now I get to cover the team that I grew up rooting for. So that's very, very cool for me. But I also really liked the Red Sox and the Mariners. Those were the two teams other than the Pirates that I liked as a kid. And if you had another team that you liked growing up and want to explain why, give us a call, 412-928-9370. But the reason that I really kind of fell in love with the Mariners as a kid that grew up in the 90s would be... Matt?
Griffey.
Ken Griffey Jr., absolutely. Not only Ken Griffey Jr., but the Ken Griffey Jr. baseball video game was among the very elite video games ever made. And if you had Ken Griffey Jr., and if you were playing as the Mariners, you were mashing every single pitch that you got. And that, to me, was one of the first, like, athlete-driven video games that just sort of took off. That just sort of had this massive, massive following and was so captivating. As a kid of the 90s, like I was, there was, I don't think, anybody bigger other than Michael Jordan than Ken Griffey Jr. He was bigger than, in the 90s, I think, any NFL player. And outside of Jordan, probably bigger than any NBA player at the time. He had that it factor. And the Pirates, one thing that I love about baseball's rule change this year has been that we get to see the Pirates go play in Seattle now every other year. And we get to go watch Ken Griffey Jr.'s, the next Ken Griffey Jr.'s. You know, back in the day, you didn't get to see him play here, really. Because these interleague games didn't happen. Not nearly at the clip that they happen now. And you could go 8 years, essentially, without seeing a team. And maybe if a guy was hurt, or he didn't play 8 years with one team, you never got to see him. And there could have been a generation of Pirates fans that will never get to see Mike Trout play, but baseball's changed those rules. I love that. I don't particularly love all the interleague. I don't like the fact that we're, you know, coming up on Memorial Day and the Pirates haven't played the Brewers yet. They haven't played the Cubs yet. I would like to see that sprinkled in a little bit more evenly in the beginning of the season, just to get a feel for the division maybe a little bit better than what we have right now. But I'm not going to complain about the Pirates getting to go play in Seattle and next year Seattle getting to come play here, because it's good for the game. It's good for kids who love the game. So I'm a big fan of it, a huge fan of it. And I love that the Pirates are, you know, last night coming into the broadcast on the TV side, there it was, the Ken Griffey Jr. statue. Baseball's biggest asset is its nostalgia factor. And for many people who love the game now, they're, and this is just statistically, demographically speaking, they're, you know, 50 plus years old. Their nostalgia is the 70s, the 80s, you know, 60s for some people. And for people like myself, my nostalgia factor is, you know, the late 90s, the mid 90s, the Sosas, the Maguires, that run in 98, the Ken Griffey Juniors, the Nomar Garcia Parras, who I loved as a kid growing up, the Pedro Martinez of the world. Like, that's my nostalgia factor. And I think if baseball can get people to connect more with that, that's a really, really good thing for the game. Let's grab a call from Eric in Uniontown. We're just staying with Uniontown today. Eric, do you know Chuck in Uniontown?
I actually do know Chuck in Uniontown. He's a local celebrity. Come on now.
Of course he is. It's his birthday today, so a big day for people all throughout Uniontown. What's up, Eric?
So you're talking about teams that you love growing up. Mine was definitely the Mets with Strawberry, Gooden, Gary Carter. I mean, that team was unbelievable. I've never really been a Pirate fan, even growing up in Uniontown, and still not today. I have liked Pirates, but for me, that Mets team was unbelievable. Rooting for Jim Thome. So you're speaking the truth about seeing these guys, like a Trout, like an Ohtani, you know, even, you know, when the Yankees came in, when Jeter was here, seeing those guys meant more to me than actually rooting for the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, and to couple that with, and thanks, Eric, for the call, couple with the fact that, look, you know, I'm in my mid-30s now, unfortunately, but for much of my life, the Pirates haven't been super, super competitive. And for me, getting to see Mark McGwire come hit home runs here in 1998 was a thrill. Getting to see Sammy Sosa hit home runs in 1998 was a thrill. It made you love baseball, even though, you know, the team locally here wasn't playing all that well at that time. Now, I hope that this generation, and I think we got to see that a little bit in 13 to 15, will get to fall in love with these current players and this current team. And that, to me, is going to be a very cool thing to watch, I think. If the Pirates can become who we think that they can become, that's going to be pretty cool. Phone lines are blowing up right now, 412-928-9370. Let's go to Mike in Pittsburgh. What's up, Mike?
Doing great. How you doing?
I'm good. What you got?
Well, you talk about the old the teams you liked when you were a kid and that weren't Pittsburgh. And 1969 was the year I really understood sports and could read box scores and that. And suddenly sports was on TV a lot more that year. And I liked the Jets because of Joe Willie, and I liked the Mets just because of the whole miracle Mets thing really intrigued me as a kid. And so I liked those teams the better part of the 70s. And then, you know, by that time I hit adulthood, I learned to hate those teams. And the other team I really liked, too, was Cincinnati until they beat us in 70 and again in 72 with Bob Moose's wild pitch. That that set a lifelong dislike for.
It's funny, and thanks, Mike, for the call. It's funny when we're kids, the athletes, the teams that we like that then change. I, as a kid, had a Deion Sanders and a Brett Favre jersey. I can't stand either of those people now. I think both of them are terrible human beings, to be perfectly honest. And I've done radio shows talking about how I can't stand either of them. And as a kid, I was wearing my Brett Favre jersey and my Deion Sanders jersey proudly around.
I don't want to admit I owned a Brett Favre jersey now growing up.
Yeah. I mean, that thing's long gone. But And it wouldn't come close to fitting me now anyways. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just funny when we're kids. We attach to things like logos and colors and players. And then I think as you get older, you start to dive into, you know, the team itself that's local, or you just find a team that you like, and all of those extracurriculars start to go out the window a little bit. Let's go to Vic in Mount Lebanon. What's up, Vic?
What's happening, brother? Love your show. Hey, man, when I was growing up as a kid, I'm a lot older than you. I was mainly into the player. Like, I liked Greg Luzinski, Rusty Staal, Thurman Munson, because they were all a little on the pudgy side, and so was I, and I was a back catcher back in the day. But my team was the Mets, because of people like John Matalack, Tom Seaver, Jerry Kuzman, Big Dave Kingman, and my uncle played for him, George Foster. Mm. So I like the Mets a lot. And the Pirates, too. I like Dave Parker and Stargiou, but I was truly a Mets fan.
We're getting a lot of Mets calls today, Vic, and appreciate the call. You know, Tony Gwynn was maybe a guy that Vic could have related to, you know, a little on the heftier side. You're John Crux of the world, and so on and so forth. That's great. I mean, like, it's such a fun conversation, those teams that you liked grow. And I think that's one thing about baseball that is more unique, is that especially because of the division of AL and NL and how different it was, and the fact that the teams didn't really play each other that much, you did have, and maybe this is different, obviously, with the Pirates and Mets conversation we're having, because they certainly played each other plenty, but it is funny that people gained allegiances for teams in the AL and they had their home team here in the NL and the Pirates. And it was almost like it was a different league. You were finding your team in, and it was a different league, I guess, at the time, but it wasn't even Major League Baseball. You found your AL team, you had your NL team. I was the same way. I liked Griffey, and I liked the Mariners, and then I liked Nomar Garciaparra. He was my favorite player, and I tried to do all the playing Little League. I was doing all the weird batting glove stuff that Nomar did, and I was wearing, you know, the uniform the same that Nomar wore. Like, that's the fun stuff that we did as kids growing up. Let's grab one more call before the break. Let's go to Sonny here in Pennsylvania, it says. I don't know where exactly in Pennsylvania.
Hi, I'm in Pittsburgh.
What's up, Sonny?
I just remember, I love baseball. I've been watching it all my life, and I was part of the big years watching the good teams. My favorite was the Cincinnati Reds. I knew every player, and I remember like the first day of the opener. We always played the Montreal Expos. We forget about them, the Tim Raineses and stuff. That was always cool.
Yeah,
and I got to give the hats off to Ben Cherington. I think he's doing a really good job. And getting back to the Mets, I was at Citi Field last weekend and watched them sweep the Rays. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. There was a couple ex-Pirates on the team, Daniel Vogelbach and Starling Marte, and they were getting booed. And I said, "Wow, that's something." They were here last year and the year before, and it's funny how the players come and go and where they end up. But I just let you know that I like the Reds, the Mets back in the 70s and 80s. Your Johnny Benches and Joe Morgan and
right.
Ray Knight. And don't forget the Orioles and the A's. They were excellent, too. So yeah. I'm just touching base. That's all.
Yeah, thanks, Sonny. Appreciate the call. He mentioned a couple guys in there that I think Vic would like. Daniel Vogelbach, among the heftier guys in baseball. I think Vogelbach was interesting to cover him in that clubhouse throughout the course of last year. But, man, just a really cool conversation. We can keep that going, 412-928-9370. We do owe for a break right now, but if you want to call in, we'll get you on the phone when we come back. This is Bucco Talk here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Hi, this is Ken Griffey Jr. Let's play Major League Baseball.
I mean, when you heard this, when you heard that, like, you knew that you were in for a good day. When you heard the Ken Griffey Jr. baseball video game firing up for the Nintendo 64, I believe it was, like, that was a peak video game right there. Let's go to Mike in Uniontown as we're here on Bucco Talk. What's up, Mike?
Good morning. Hey, I'm going to be 69 years old, and I've been a fan all my life of the Pirates.
I remember going to Forbes Field with my dad, watching Willie McCovey and Willie Mays come in from San Francisco, and watching the Mets come in with Tom Seaver and daggone Big Red Machine coming in. But I got to ask you something. Yesterday, Tom Clemens was on your station, the quarterback coach, and he said he remembered his dad taking him to Forbes Field to watch the Steelers.
Yeah.
Well, you guys got to refresh my memory. I don't remember them ever playing at Forbes Field, and it surely wasn't in Tom Clemens' lifetime.
You're talking about the Steelers playing at Forbes Field?
Yes.
Yeah, they did play at Forbes Field for a brief amount of time before before Three River Stadium was built. Back then, that they played some at Forbes Field. I think from their founding in 33 until like the early 60s, I think they played at Forbes Field.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember my dad and my brother taking me to the Pitt Stadium, and we watched the Dallas Cowboys, and they had Bob Hayes at that time, who just won Olympic gold in the 100-yard dash, but that was at Pitt Stadium.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah, no, the Steelers were tenants at Forbes Field, and appreciate the call, Mike. The Steelers were tenants at Forbes Field from 1933 to 1963. So they were tenants, and the Steagles were tenants there as well. Remember the Steagles, 1943. So the Pirates shared that facility. Pitt football played at Forbes Field as well. Duquesne played at Forbes Field. The Homestead Grays played at Forbes Field as well. The Pittsburgh Americans of the AFL, they played at Forbes Field. The Phantoms played at Forbes Field in the NPSL, the National Professional Soccer League. It's amazing what Wikipedia can tell you in an instant, because that's where I'm drawing all that from. The Steelers won. I knew that. I knew that Pitt had played there as well. And I did not know about the Pittsburgh Phantoms of the NPSL. I'll admit that. Let's go grab a call from Paula in Pittsburgh. Hi, Paula. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I've been a lifelong fan, too. I'm 56. Fond memories of the family go, and I couldn't wait to grab my program. And me and my dad would go over all the players' stats and everything. I loved your assessment a while back of the Buccos. I'm loving the camaraderie of this team, mm-hmm. the spirit. They seem like a family like the 70s.
I
love it.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Paula. It does feel like a more connected group than it has been in recent years. Now, will that translate to a winning season? Will it translate to a playoff season? I don't know. But I do think it's going to translate to a better season than what we've seen here of late. And it's going, I think, to set up good years to come here for the Pirates more than anything. Again, I don't know that this is a playoff team. I don't know that it's an 80-plus win team right now. That still remains to be seen. Right now, they're projected to hit 84 wins this year. I don't know if that's going to happen. That would be a significant upgrade from last year, a significant upgrade. You're talking over 20 wins more than last year. But they do feel like they're setting a foundation for the organization chemistry that they want to have going forward, and that's a really important thing. 93.7 The Fan wants to see your youth baseball and softball teams in action with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Parents and coaches, send an email to us at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your team ages 12 and younger. 93.7 The Fan may be making a stop to see a game or tournament brought to you by Living Treasures of the Laurel Highlands. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The sun's shining, spring's here. It's time to get a great deal on Silverados and Colorados. Stop in and online at sunchevy.com. We'll get you Fan Weather in just a moment here. But fun talk here in this hour. We're going to shift it a little bit. We'll talk more about this current team. We're going to hear from Ben Cherington coming up. We have Jason Mackey scheduled to join us as well in about 20 minutes from Seattle as the Pirates win last night 11-6, the final. We'll be back with more. I'm Josh Roundtree. It's Bucco Talk here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're getting a lot of Mets calls today, Vic, and appreciate the call. Tony Gwynn was maybe a guy that Vic could have related to, a little on the heftier side. You're John Crux of the world and so on and so forth. That's great. I mean, like, it's such a fun conversation, those teams that you liked grow. And that's, I think that's one thing about baseball that is more unique, is that especially because of the division of AL and NL and how different it was, and the fact that the teams didn't really play each other that much, you did have, and maybe this is different, obviously, with the Pirates and Mets conversation we're having, because they certainly played each other plenty, but it is funny that people gained allegiances for teams in the AL, and they had their home team here in the NL and the Pirates. And it was almost like it was a different league. You were finding your team in, and it was a different league, I guess, at the time, but it wasn't even Major League Baseball. You found your AL team. You had your NL team. I was the same way. I liked Griffey, and I liked the Mariners, and then I liked Nomar Garciaparra. He was my favorite player, and I tried to do all the playing Little League. I was doing all the weird batting glove stuff that Nomar did, and I was wearing, you know, the uniform the same that Nomar wore. Like, that's the fun stuff that we did as kids growing up. Let's grab one more call before the break. Let's go to Sonny in here in Pennsylvania, it says. I don't know where exactly in Pennsylvania.
Hi, I'm in Pittsburgh.
What's up, Sonny?
I just remember, I love baseball. I've been watching it all my life, and I was part of the big years watching the good teams. My favorite was the Cincinnati Reds. I knew every player, and I remember like the first day of the opener. We always played the Montreal Expos. We forget about them, the Tim Raineses and stuff. That was always cool.
Yeah.
And I got to give the hats off to Ben Cherington. I think he's doing a really good job. And getting back to the Mets, I was at Citi Field last weekend and watched him sweep the Rays. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. There was a couple ex-Pirates on the team, Daniel Vogelbach and Starling Marte, and they were getting booed, and I said, "Wow, that's something." They were here last year and the year before, and it's funny how the players come and go and where they end up. But I just let you know that I like the Reds, the Mets back in the 70s and 80s. Your Johnny Benches and Joe Morgan and
right.
Ray Knight and don't forget the Orioles and the A's. They were excellent too. So yeah. I'm just touching base. That's all.
Yeah, thanks, Sonny. Appreciate the call. He mentioned a couple guys in there that I think Vic would like. Daniel Vogelbach, among the heftier guys in baseball. I think Vogelbach was interesting to cover him in that clubhouse throughout the course of last year. But man, just a really cool conversation. We can keep that going. 412-928-9370. We do owe for a break right now, but if you want to call in, we'll get you on the phone when we come back. This is Bucco Talk here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Hi, this is Ken Griffey Jr. Let's play Major League Baseball.
I mean, when you heard this, when you heard that, like, you knew that you were in for a good day. When you heard the Ken Griffey Jr. baseball video game firing up for the Nintendo 64, I believe it was, like, that was a peak video game right there. Let's go to Mike in Uniontown as we're here on Bucco Talk. What's up, Mike?
Good morning. Hey, I'm going to be 69 years old, and I've been a fan all my life of the Pirates. I remember going to Forbes Field with my dad, watching Willie McCovey and Willie Mays come in from San Francisco, and watching the Mets come in with Tom Seaver and daggone Big Red Machine coming in. But I got to ask you something. Yesterday, Tom Clemens was on your station, the quarterback coach, and he said he remembered his dad taking him to Forbes Field to watch the Steelers.
Yeah.
Well, you guys got to refresh my memory. I don't remember them ever playing at Forbes Field, and it surely wasn't in Tom Clemens' lifetime.
You're talking about the Steelers playing at Forbes Field?
Yes.
Yeah, they did play at Forbes Field for a brief amount of time before before Three River Stadium was built. Back then, that they played some at Forbes Field. I think from their founding in 33 until like the early 60s, I think they played at Forbes Field.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember my dad and my brother taking me to the Pitt Stadium, and we watched the Dallas Cowboys And they had Bob Hayes at that time, who just won Olympic gold in the 100-yard dash. But that was at Pitt Stadium.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah, no, the Steelers were tenants at Forbes Field, and appreciate the call, Mike. The Steelers were tenants at Forbes Field from 1933 to 1963. So they were tenants, and the Steagles were tenants there as well. Remember the Steagles, 1943. So the Pirates shared that facility. Pitt football played at Forbes Field as well. Duquesne played at Forbes Field. The Homestead Grays played at Forbes Field as well. The Pittsburgh Americans of the AFL, they played at Forbes Field. The Phantoms played at Forbes Field. In the NPSL, the National Professional Soccer League. It's amazing what Wikipedia can tell you in an instant, because that's where I'm drawing all that from. The Steelers won. I knew that. I knew that Pitt had played there as well. And I did not know about the Pittsburgh Phantoms of the NPSL. I'll admit that. Let's go grab a call from Paula in Pittsburgh. Hi, Paula. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I've been a lifelong fan, too. I'm 56. Fond memories of the family go, and I couldn't wait to grab my program. And me and my dad would go over all the player stats and everything. I loved your assessment a while back of the Buccos. I'm loving the camaraderie of this team, mm-hmm. the spirit. They seem like a family like the 70s.
I
love it.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Paula. It does feel like a more connected group than it has been in recent years. Now, will that translate to a winning season? Will it translate to a playoff season? I don't know. But I do think it's going to translate to a better season than what we've seen here of late. And it's going, I think, to set up good years to come here for the Pirates more than anything. Again, I don't know that this is a playoff team. I don't know that it's an 80-plus win team right now. That still remains to be seen. Right now, they're projected to hit 84 wins this year. I don't know if that's going to happen. That would be a significant upgrade from last year, a significant upgrade. You're talking over 20 wins more than last year. But they do feel like they're setting a foundation for the organization chemistry that they want to have going forward, and that's a really important thing. 93.7 The Fan wants to see your youth baseball and softball teams in action with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Parents and coaches, send an email to us at youthsports@937thefan.com to register your team ages 12 and younger. 93.7 The Fan may be making a stop to see a game or tournament brought to you by Living Treasures of the Laurel Highlands. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The sun's shining, spring's here. It's time to get a great deal on Silverados and Colorados. Stop in and online at sunchevy.com. We'll get you Fan Weather in just a moment here. But fun talk here in this hour. We're going to shift it a little bit. We'll talk more about this current team. We're going to hear from Ben Cherington coming up. We have Jason Mackey scheduled to join us as well in about 20 minutes from Seattle as the Pirates win last night, 11-6, the final. We'll be back with more. I'm Josh Rountree. It's Bucco Talk here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why wait for Labor Day to save big on new custom window treatments when you can save up to 45% right now at Blinds.com's Labor Day Early Access Sale? Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's Labor Day Early Access Sale, happening right now. Save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.